Next case this morning is Weaver v. Champion Pet Foods, number 20-2235. Good morning, counsel. Mr. Shurker, I see your podium there, but we can't see you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
There you are. Good morning. And good morning, Ms. Peterson. Ms. Peterson, you've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal, so whenever you're ready, please.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning, Your Honors. Rebecca Peterson on behalf of Plaintiff Scott Weaver. This case raises the question of what is the proper analysis a district court should do at summary judgment when faced with a false labeling case. And here, those specific claims were pled under Wisconsin law. The district court's order should be reversed because it failed to do the proper analysis for summary judgment as highlighted by this court's decision in Sturm Foods. It also refused to apply the reasonable consumer standard as this court recently set forth more clarity on in the Bell decision. Instead, the district court cherry-picked facts and decided as a matter of law issues that should have gone to the jury. It also failed to apply the reasonable consumer standard when it held that the plaintiff's interpretation of the alleged misrepresentations was absurd, and it engrafted requirements under the Wisconsin Deceptive Trade Practices Act that simply go against the very purpose of that statute when it held that the requested relief was extraordinary. In the end, the district court simply adopted the defense counsel's offered alternative interpretation as to what the challenged misrepresentations could mean, and it did not consider what a pet parent would reasonably expect when buying a $90 bag of dog food that markets itself and promises all over the bag superior quality.
Under your argument, Ms. Peterson, even if only fresh, locally sourced meat had been used in the dog food, with the representation that it was biologically appropriate be misleading and actionable because of the possibility that trace amounts of BPA present in the environment could end up in the dog food?
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, plaintiff's theory here is because there is a substantial risk, a real risk of BPA in the dog food, and that it promises that it's biologically appropriate, which it ties specifically to natural and nourish as nature intended, that the inclusion of and the risk of BPA in the dog food does render the biologically appropriate statement misleading, even if all the meats were fresh.
Now, you don't allege that either BPA or pentobarbital was present in the dog food in any amount that could be safer on farm or harmful. In fact, you don't even base the representations appearing elsewhere.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. What we do allege is that we allege that testing shows that it is in, and it has been, in the specific diets purchased by plaintiff, and that a reasonable consumer would care about the inclusion because of the known risk of harm for BPA. We do not allege actual injury to Scott Weaver's dogs. At that point, it was Jack and Jill. That they had to go see a vet because they consume BPA. Instead, it's whether or not, and this is what Plaintiff Weaver testified to, that he would not even have purchased the bag if he knew there was a risk of BPA because he wouldn't want to put that risk in front of his dogs.
Ms. Peterson, we're at summary judgment here, and the court ruled on summary judgment, and the lab results that you referenced show that none of the dog food that your client purchased, namely the Origin brand, contained detectable amounts of BPA. So how should that impact our analysis?
Thank you, Your Honor. The original testing that we did that was included in the complaint did show that the diets purchased by Plaintiff Weaver had detectable levels of BPA.
That's not what the lab results that were submitted at summary judgment showed, and I'm looking at record number 148-15 to be specific. The lab results showed that none of the dog food that your client actually purchased contained detectable amounts.
Right. I mean, you were arguing that, your theory is, well, I think your theory is that Champion failed to disclose that there was a risk, R-I-S-K, of BPA or pentobarbital. That,
yes, Your Honor, that is exactly correct.
Well,
but there wasn't
a lot of problems with that, aren't there? First, I mean, even if we consider the claim that the dog food is biologically appropriate to be a factual representation as opposed to puffery, which is, you know, we'll put that on the side. The packaging itself provides definition to the term by stating that it is a diet. Let me see. It is a diet protein rich and carbohydrate limited, and then it lists the meat and fish included in the dog food. I mean, it seems to me that at best the term biologically appropriate in the context of the packaging would be understood as promising the inclusion of such meat and fish in a composition that would be protein heavy. And the mere risk that trace amounts of such substance in a quantity could neither be harmful or safe could be present in the product can't render that term biologically appropriate misleading, I don't think.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to point to Exhibit 158-18, which is Champion's own document, where they specifically state that they assure pet lovers there is no health risk to their dogs. And the reason why they're talking about health risk here is how they're trying to minimize the exposure to BPA in their dog food. So at this point, at summary judgment, there is evidence that should go to a jury and should, the weight and credibility, because Champion's own internal documents based on their, you know, marketing, research,
their interaction with pet lovers. But that doesn't establish even an issue of fact that BPA was in the dog food that your client purchased. And putting that aside, I want to take just one step back, please, Ms. Peterson. Was there any evidence at summary judgment that a reasonable consumer, which is what the test is here, would interpret the phrase biologically appropriate on the dog food as certifying that the dog food is completely free of BPA? Other than your client's own testimony, was there any evidence that a reasonable consumer would interpret it that way?
The evidence for BPA would also include the document which I just referred to, which is not an actual survey to consumers, but it's defendant's statement that, but it's not directly biologically.
How a reasonable consumer would interpret biologically appropriate, and specifically to go to your argument, how would that support that a reasonable consumer would interpret that phrase as meaning that the food was free of any BPA, including what you could pick up in the environment?
Thank you, Your Honor. And so the other evidence I would say is we had the survey, which is on appeal here.
Damages. You submitted the survey for the purpose of damages. This is a question of liability and a question of what a reasonable consumer would interpret, which is the test under the statute that you're pursuing. Correct. Here. So please identify for me if I have missed something. I'm trying to figure out what in the record would support, other than your client's own testimony, which I don't think is sufficient under the law, what would support your argument that a reasonable consumer would interpret biologically appropriate as certifying that all of the food is free of BPA, including what you might pick up in the environment.
Your Honor, I would also say that the testimony from Peter Mullenfeld, when he was asked what biologically appropriate meant and what, and also their marketing, Julie Washington, when she was asked about biologically appropriate, they testified that it's a consumer facing forward message that, and Peter Mullenfeld testified that it means as close to perfect food as possible.
But
and so that was based on the market research.
Neither one testified that that representation was meant to represent that it wouldn't have any BPA, what you could just pick up in the environment.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. No one directly testified as to that. But as in, they stated in the Birdsall case, that a consumer survey isn't always required. It can also come in
that's
from
true.
Extrinsic
that's
evidence.
True, but it's not always required, but I'm trying to figure out what evidence was submitted to support it here.
So for
I'm sorry, Judge Rove, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No. I talked over you.
Okay, so I don't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead, please.
So yes, there is, you are not missing any additional evidence. That's what we have for biologically appropriate as to whether or not it would be misleading. We also have the various documents, internal documents at Champion saying that biologically appropriate is a message that's clear and that it drives its sales and it means natural dog food. And so we don't have the survey.
I'd like to go a little further for a moment, please. Weaver's provided no support for an argument that there is an obligation to disclose the mere risk of such substances. There's no allegation that Champion used such substances in producing the dog food. The suppliers of its packaging maintained that the packaging was BPA free. As I recall, when Champion was testing, and the testing indicated the presence of pentobarbital in one ingredient that it did use in its dog food, Champion took action to address the issue, and its actions were in compliance with the FDA. I mean, how have you demonstrated that BPA or pentobarbital, I guess, is present in Champion's dog food in an amount that could render the term biologically appropriate deceptive? How?
Thank you, Your Honor. First, I believe you started off with talking about intention and that somehow Champion's intention into including an ingredient actually comes into play under the Wisconsin Deceptive Trade Practices Act, and that's just not a consideration as to there's nothing about intending an ingredient. It's whether they're intending to induce based on the misrepresentation here and biologically appropriate. The evidence is clear. Champion's own statements are clear that biologically appropriate drove sales. Now, as to what we have to show that there was an actual health risk at levels for BPA or pentobarbital, I will state that you are correct. We don't have anything. Our case was about the risk. And if this court believes that risk is not sufficient enough, I would like to move on to, because my time is getting quite short, as to the other misrepresentations as to fresh and regional. But I would say that we did allege risk, and that is our theory, and that is what the evidence for BPA and pentobarbital addresses. It does not address a specific level. The district court also found not only that BPA was and pentobarbital were not viable claims, but he also found that the promises of fresh and regional on the dog food bags were not misleading because Champion never promised 100% fresh or regional, and that they use some ingredients. The district court's order.
They used what? I'm sorry, I missed a word. They used what ingredients did you say?
Some fresh or some regional.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. So at that point, the district court held that because they use some, that those that they cannot be misleading as a matter of law. This first ignores the law that something can be true and still misleading.
Do you agree that it does contain some fresh ingredients?
Yes, there would be some, though Champion's own pleadings at this point, it makes me unsure of that because they said they gave more information that it depends on the season, what's available. And so I would assume there's some, though the Champion's own declaration says, well, it really depends on the season as to when things are available and the ingredients.
I think it's pretty clear that the evidence showed that it contained some fresh ingredients. Let's assume that. I think you started to agree to that initially, but let's assume that. My question to you is the same here as on the BPA. What evidence was submitted that a reasonable customer would believe that the representation meant that the ingredients were 100% fresh as opposed to just containing fresh?
Well, Your Honor, the district court failed to consider all the times that we say that the bag says fresh or regional. And yes, plaintiff's testimony said unless it's disclosed otherwise, he would assume fresh ingredients. For instance, regional.
Again, I'm sorry, Ms. Peterson, and you're into your rebuttal time, but my question was not what the district court did, but what evidence did you put into the record other than your client's own testimony that a reasonable consumer would interpret the representation to mean the ingredients were 100% fresh?
We have the Champion's own documents saying that fresh is misleading and explaining to their employees when fresh can or cannot be used because otherwise it is not there, misleading. And also we have the survey specific corrective statement that says fresh, if it says fresh, but it uses frozen ingredients. So we have various documents.
You are into your rebuttal time. You are into your rebuttal time, Ms. Peterson, if you want to save some.
Yes, I would like to. Thank you
okay.
very much.
Thank you. Mr. Shurker? We can't hear you, Mr. Shurker. You're on mute. If you would unmute it, please. Thank you.
Terribly sorry, Your Honor. I'm still new at this.
That's okay.
We all are.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
To please the court, Elliot Shurker on behalf of Champion. What this court said in Beardsall is that the problem with the plaintiff's case on summary judgment was, quote, plaintiffs have not presented any actual evidence that the label is likely to mislead consumers about the nature or quality of the product. Plaintiffs need to offer evidence that reasonable consumers were likely to be misled in a material way.
Excuse me for a moment. The clock is not working.
Thank you, Judge Rovner. All right, well, if you would start over, please. Now we have the clock going.
Yeah, did you mind starting over?
Yes, Your Honor. Plaintiffs have not presented any actual evidence that the label is likely to mislead consumers about the nature or quality of the product. And the court continued, plaintiffs need to offer evidence that reasonable consumers were likely to be misled in a material way. As to each and every one of plaintiffs' claims about our dog food, this analysis applies, starting first with BPA. The undisputed material facts are that BPA is ubiquitous in the environment. It's found in human and animal diets. It's found in dust and air. There are varying amounts found in many dog foods, including in only one test, some of Champion's dog foods, although subsequent tests showed there was none detectable in our dog foods at 5 parts per billion, including the diets that Mr. Weaver bought. Plaintiff agrees, as we heard this morning, that the BPA found in dog food is not harmful to dogs. The district court ruled, because BPA is in the environment but is not harmful to dogs at the level found in the dog food, the mere potential presence in Champion's dog food does not make biologically appropriate a lie. based on the undisputed facts, that's entirely correct. A possible presence of ubiquitous but non-harmful levels of BPA in dog food does not turn biologically appropriate dog food into biologically inappropriate dog food, and therefore there is nothing misleading about the statements biologically appropriate. The same is true, although for slightly different reasons, as to pentobarbital. Weaver's claim is based on unvarnished speculation that pentobarbital might have been present in dog food that he purchased before October of 2017, when the only actual evidence is that pentobarbital appeared in two lots of beef tallow from one distributor in March of 2018. In that month, one of Champion's suppliers delivered two lots of beef tallow that contained small amounts of pentobarbital. Champion quarantined all the unused portions of the affected tallow of the 1.7 million pounds of dog food that was manufactured using the affected tallow. All but 100,000 pounds were retrieved by Champion. Testing of composite samples taken from the food products made with the affected tallow showed non-detect results for pentobarbital. The FDA approved our handling of the affected tallow, including our decision not to recall the 100,000 pounds and determined that no other action needed to be taken. All Weaver offers, as we heard this morning, is bare speculation that there might somehow have been pentobarbital in the dog food that he purchased. The district court correctly ruled, if I might quote from this passage of the order, without evidence of pentobarbital's presence in prior shipments, Weaver cannot credibly allege that the products he purchased had a detectable level of pentobarbital or a meaningful risk of such a level. As to fresh and reasonable, this court said in Bell, 982 F3rd at 477, we stand by the general principle that deceptive advertising claims should take into account all the information available to consumers and the context in which that information is provided and used. The district court did exactly that, quoting from the order. When the dog food packaging is viewed in full, it is clear that some ingredients are fresh, raw, or dehydrated, some ingredients are frozen or freeze-dried, and that at least several pounds are not fresh ingredients, which disposes of Weaver's objections based on the alleged inclusions of regrind or refreshed ingredients or other not fresh ingredients. Weaver himself testified that frozen ingredients were not a problem for him. And the declaration to which Ms. Peterson made reference said the ingredients are delivered fresh or raw, our raw ingredients are frozen. As Mr. Muhlenfeld explained in his deposition, if you walk into a pet store and ask for the raw food, they're going to point you to the frozen food counter. So our food was either delivered fresh or raw to our kitchens, where it was made in our kitchens and never outsourced. As to regional, we use regional suppliers, that's undisputed. The packaging included statements as to what context was for regional. I might add, as to the six fish diet that Mr. Weaver bought, it discloses that the fish came from the Atlantic Ocean and certainly not from Kentucky, and no one could have been misled. The same
is true. I have a question. Forgive me, I have a question. Even if the term regional or regionally sourced had a rather expansive meaning that was clear on the face of the packaging, is it equally clear that the meaning would extend to a far-flung location like New Zealand? In other words, how can we say as a matter of law that the packaging was not deceptive if it promised regional sourcing and used product from countries such as New Zealand?
We did use products from New Zealand. That's expressly laid out in the Milam Declaration. That's correct, Your Honor. But we don't guarantee 100% regional. This is not Bell, where the guarantee was 100% grated Parmesan cheese. We represent that we use regional ingredients, and indeed we do use regional ingredients, and when they can't be sourced regionally, we source them from other places. That's correct.
Mr. Sherman, why wouldn't Mr. Weaver's testimony that he interpreted this as meaning 100% regional raise an issue of fact?
Because it doesn't make any sense. He bought six fish, which said it came from the Atlantic Ocean. He knows that the six fish didn't come from Kentucky. So he understands that regional doesn't necessarily mean Kentucky.
But what does it mean New Zealand? And forgive me, but in addition to New Zealand and Canada, Weaver states that Champion used products from the European Union, Norway, China, Latin America. Do you dispute that contention? And if so, precisely which countries were sources used in the PET.
Your Honor, all of that was laid out in the documents of discovery to which reference is made in the declaration, in the statement of material undisputed facts to which Your Honor is referencing. And yes, there are bills of lading and other documents that occasionally we did purchase ingredients from all the places that Your Honor listed. That is correct. And we don't dispute that it has happened. Our argument on the diets that Mr. Weaver purchased is we explain exactly where each ingredient came from and where we source those ingredients. They're sourced almost entirely from the United States. We represent on the back of our bag that as to these products, our inspiration and source is either the vast unspoiled lands of America, that's for the Dog Star food, or the vast unspoiled lands of Canada for the North Star food, which is where the North Star food is made indeed. But we don't guarantee that 100% of it is. We don't say that anywhere on the bag. We actually say on the bag that 11 pounds of the 13 pounds are fresh, raw, or dehydrated. As the district court ruled, that's 2 pounds, at least 2 pounds unaccounted for, and tells the purchaser that those 11 pounds, yes, but those other 2 pounds are not guaranteed. And as to Mr. Weaver, I return to the six fish. He understands that regional doesn't mean Kentucky. And that's where, if you look at Mr. Milam's declaration, you'll see that this is in the record at document 148-9, that as to almost all of the ingredients in these two diets, they were from the United States and were delivered either fresh or raw to the kitchens for production. So the representation of fresh and regional, as to the representation of fresh and regional, Mr. Weaver presented no evidence that it was going to mislead a reasonable consumer as it was presented on the bags. And therefore, the district court correctly ruled that he could not make out a claim for a deceptive label based on the fresh and regional statements. I'll rely on my brief on the Daubert issue unless the court has any questions on that issue.
I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
It's very simple. What's the current status of the packaging? Is there any alteration in the ingredients or when they refer to freshness, et cetera? Or is this the status quo that's been there and it's not any different than in the past? In other words, the same packaging is now as it was, let's say, a year or two ago.
Your Honor, from what the record discloses, these are the packages that we have been using. I don't know if any changes have been made since this lawsuit was initiated, but we're very comfortable in relying on this packaging.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Thank you. Ms. Peterson? Rebuttal, please. You're muted, Ms. Peterson.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. I can address the question as to any change on packaging. There is no disclosure at the bottom of the bag that says that they are globally sourced or internationally sourced ingredients also included in the bag. That is the one change that I have seen. I did want to quickly touch base on the issue of fact questions that were raised. One that I do want to highlight is for fresh, they are very, very dependent on the fact that raw is separate than fresh and that everyone would understand that. Our plaintiff testified that raw would still be fresh. Their own documents show that raw would be fresh. So whether fresh and raw are the same or different is an issue of fact, and that does play into their defense as to why fresh is not misleading. I would also say that Weaver did testify that he knew when buying six fish that the fish were coming from New England, but he said because they disclosed that and they did not disclose all the other ingredients that were non-regional, he would assume they would be coming from the region of Kentucky. The other statements on the bag where they say fresh and regional without a disclosure, I think is critical here because as Bell said, it's the overall impression of a shopper going to a grocery store and they don't have to parse the label. And if you look at the disputed facts between 16 and 20, you'll see all the other statements that we put in where Champion talks about Fresh or Regional, that the court just didn't consider. They considered the one disclosure on the front bottom of the bag about raw, fresh, or dehydrated. And so how a consumer buying this bag would interpret it should have been considered as the bag in general and not just the defendant's view, the defendant's interpretation, which Bell specifically prohibits. And finally, I would say the evidence here is not so one-sided that plaintiff's understanding is absurd. If you say fresh 15 times, 23 times, is it absurd to think that 100% of the ingredients are fresh unless they're disclosed? There's not a mention of expired ingredients. There's not a mention of regrinds. And that should have gone to the jury. That is not a matter of law, in plaintiff's opinion, to call, to make the call as a matter of law. And finally, the survey, even though it was kicked out at Daubert, it shows consumers care because they would not have decreased the value of the dog food if they didn't think it mattered. And thank you, Your Honors. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.